God has an amazing way of developing and empowering witnesses. God is never without persons to tell of God's wondrous works, to herald the glad tidings of God's steadfast love and redeeming power.
That's Bishop Bevel Jones, who brings you a challenging message of faith and hope as we celebrate 60 years of broadcast ministry today on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the interdenominational program featuring outstanding preachers from across America, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thanks, Sherry. Today on this special edition of Day One, we are honored to have with us Bishop L. Bevel Jones III. Bishop Jones has been a leader in the United Methodist Church, as well as in ecumenical circles, for over half a century. A trustee emeritus of Emory University, he is bishop in residence at Candler School of Theology and special assistant for development at Emory. He pastored several churches in the Atlanta area, as well as Athens and LaGrange, Georgia, and then served for 12 years as resident bishop of the Western North Carolina Annual Conference based in Charlotte, before he officially retired from the ministry in 1996. But the truth is, since then, he's been busier than ever, serving on several boards, including the Protestant Hour and Episcopal Media Center boards, filling numerous pulpits and writing articles, as well as his wonderful memoir, One Step Beyond Caution. Bishop Jones, we're honored to have you with us.
It's a real privilege to be with you, Peter.
I'm sure our regular listeners have heard that this is our 60th year of broadcast ministry, and this week we're having an anniversary celebration on Tuesday, November 1st, at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Atlanta. So we wanted to spend some time with someone who's been intimately involved in this ministry almost from the beginning, and you certainly fit that bill. What was your first encounter with the Protestant Hour ministry?
Well, Peter, I don't think I'm getting that old, but I will admit that every time somebody asks, do you remember when? I nearly always do. But I remember so well as I was finishing seminary and beginning my pastoral ministry in the late 40s, these early beginnings of the Protestant Hour. And I was present for the dedication of the Protestant Radio and Television Center in the early 50s. So this has really been a stimulus to me as a clergy person through the years, and I have been privileged to be on its board for about 30 years.
The Protestant Hour radio program began regular weekly broadcast during the summer of 1945. How did the program get started?
It began in the basement of one of the buildings at Agnes Scott College in Decatur. Some of the leading clergy in the vicinity felt the need to take advantage of the medium of radio, which had been developed only about 15 to 20 years before this, you see. And realizing that there are more radios than people, they said, we've got to use this facility. And so they asked Bishop Costin J. Harrell of the Methodist Church to deliver the first message to broadcast in 1945. And it began to grab the imagination of our leaders in churches of various denominations, and they finally formed a consortium, and you know the rest of the history.
The Protestant Radio Center was formed in 1949 to kind of organize the program.
And that's correct.
That led into the ongoing weekly broadcast, which rotated among these major denominations. What were some of those preachers of the time?
Well, it was an array of what you'd call pulpit giants, such as C.S. Lewis and Sam Shoemaker and Theodore Ferris and Edmund Stimley and John Redhead and J. Wallace Hamilton and Robert Goodrich, to name just a few.
Just a few.
Yeah.
The program became quite influential in the life of the church in the 50s and 60s, especially in the United Methodist Church. I know it was very influential in creating bishops.
Yes, true that any number of those Methodist speakers in the early days were elected bishop. And then some brought messages over the Protestant hour after becoming bishops. But back in those days, in the 50s in particular, those were the halcyon years of the local church, the parish ministry. And people were very responsive to preaching. There was a kind of de-emphasizing of preaching in the 60s and early 70s, but then it came back with a flourish.
Then the past 5 years have seen some pretty major changes in this ministry as the board decided in 2000 to sell the then outdated PRTVC building and start anew. The program got a new name, Day One, and a new Day One television program was launched. The longtime denominations of Episcopal, Lutheran, Methodist, and Presbyterian were joined by new participating denominations, the United Church of Christ and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. And so these must have been some pretty challenging times for a board member such as you. Did it seem like this program might come to an end at some point?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we began to struggle financially back in the late 80s and early 90s when the various judicatories were intensifying their own broadcasting operations, and they felt that they didn't have enough money to chip in for the continuation or perpetuation of the Protestant hour. So we found it necessary to scale down, and we incorporated then the Protestant hour, which had always been the piece de resistance of the Protestant Radio and Television Center.
Then in July of last year, the Protestant Hour Incorporated merged with the Episcopal Media Center to create a new ecumenical organization to carry on the mission of proclaiming the good news through the media. And it looks like the future is going to be brighter than ever. How do you think our mission has changed after these 60 years, or has it?
Well, essentially, it's the same. It's like the boy who was asking his granddaddy as he chopped wood how old that axe was. And he said, "Son, it's been through two generations. It's had many different heads and handles, but it's the same axe." Of course, in addition now to the weekly broadcasts, there is television. There is the digital age. We are trying to use all of the technology we can to amplify and to expand our mission.
Well, Bishop, we look forward to hearing more about the mission, the history, and the future of this program in your sermon today, Heralds of Hope. Thanks so much for being with us.
Peter, it's my pleasure and privilege to be with you.
And if you'd like a free transcript of Bishop Bevel Jones's sermon today, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1 or visit our website at dayone.net.
Reading from the 10th chapter of Romans, verses 13 through 17. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. The Word of God for the people of God. A few years ago, I was on a mission with a company of colleagues in Estonia. We were housed in Tallinn on the southeastern coast of the Baltic Sea. One of the sights that caught our attention was near our hotel, the harbor for the big ships that sailed to and from the major cities around the sea. One night we saw hundreds of persons boarding the flagship Estonian. The next morning we awakened to the tragic news that due to mechanical failure and a fierce storm, the Estonian had sunk, and over 750 passengers went to a watery grave. A pall hung over the city. The next afternoon, several Rotarians in our group visited the local club. When the president saw a half-dozen strangers come in, he inquired who we were. Learning that we were Christian clergy, he told us that one of their fellow Rotarians had lost loved ones on that voyage, and everyone present shared his distress and sorrow as well as their concern for all their fellow citizens who perished. Then he said, "Could someone in your party speak some words of comfort and hope to us?" That request on a tragic day has come to my mind often, especially since 9/11 and the havoc Hurricane Katrina has wrought on the Gulf Coast in our country. The world is full of woe, and people are looking for hope and assurance amidst it all. From the beginning of biblical history, God has been responding to the plight of God's people in and through all circumstances. That's why we call the Bible the Word of God. This is borne out dramatically in the story of Moses. Some wag has said that we should all take hope remembering that even Moses was once a basket case. The story of the Exodus led by the mighty Moses is a classic paradigm of God's power to deliver us from evil and free us from bondage. You know the story of God appearing to Moses as he was tending the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. There at the burning bush, God directed Moses to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, Moses did not take to that task readily. In fact, he demurred, excusing himself because he was not a good speaker. But God would not be denied. He promised Moses that he would tell him what to say, plus sending Aaron, Moses' brother, who was a good speaker, to go along and be his mouthpiece. That threesome, God, Moses, and Aaron, fit the bill. But not without one more provision. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Scholars tell us that is to be interpreted, "I will be there for you." In other words, remember Moses, no matter what, no matter where, no matter who, you can count on me. Isn't that wonderful? God has an amazing way of developing and empowering witnesses. God is never without persons to tell of God's wondrous works, to herald the glad tidings of God's steadfast love and redeeming power. It is on that premise and on that promise that 60 years ago, out of the crucible of World War II, the Protestant Hour was launched. A war-weary nation was taking on new life. Homes were reestablished, churches were revitalized, and 30 million war babies began populating the earth like flowers bursting forth in springtime. Through 6 decades, this program has met with gratifying response to our presentation of a warm, intelligent, relevant, biblical message. We've always been ecumenical. Yes, and contrary to public opinion and church nomenclature, we are evangelical in the classical Protestant tradition. None of the participating denominations presumes to have a monopoly on truth, nor do we force-feed our listeners. We do not claim to have all the answers. There are no pat answers to the ultimate mysteries humankind has pondered for centuries. Rather, we offer him who is the answer to our deepest needs, Jesus the Christ. We founded and perpetuate this ministry on the saviorhood of Christ expressed by Paul in our scripture lesson. Paul emphasizes that we are saved by grace through faith. But it is through hearing the gospel that people believe. Martin Luther went on to say that the preaching of the gospel is the very presence of Christ. Furthermore, we are aware of both the threat and promise of life on planet Earth. We earnestly seek, as Jesus taught us to pray, for God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. One of the signs of our times is a spiritual hunger in hearts everywhere. Listeners such as yourself tell us that they desire not merely to know about God, but to know God personally. Amidst all the complexity and controversy in churches today, there is a persistent longing for an authentic experience of the living Christ. You've doubtless noticed our new name, Day One. Now, that's not for novelty or to be different. It has profound theological and spiritual import. It harks back to the beginning of biblical history, to what St. Augustine called the one great miracle, creation. Wonder of wonders that anything should be at all, and you and I a part of it. In the beginning, God brought light out of darkness and order out of chaos. God is still doing that for all who call upon Him. God not only creates, God recreates. Those who believe and exercise faith can experience life anew. New light on life's perplexities, order out of chaotic living, ruined lives remade, broken relations restored, and sins forgiven. Herein is the ultimate goal of the gospel we proclaim, a new creation, life transformed by the grace of God and the presence of the living Christ. Such is our hope for now and forever. What a faith to be shared. In the words of Ernest Nickel, "We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? We thank you, O God, for the chorus of voices that for 6 decades has stirred the hearts of millions through the medium of the Protestant Hour and Day One. Likewise, we offer our thanks for the countless listeners who have encouraged and supported us and have joined us in spreading the good news. Empower us as we seek to meet the urgency of this hour with your eternal word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now let's rejoin our host, Peter Wallace, and Bishop Bevel Jones for some final thoughts on this week's sermon.
Bishop, you titled your sermon, Heralds of Hope, and that's exactly what this program has sought to bring to its listeners for the past 60 years, hope. And in this day of high-tech media of all sorts, the spoken word is still vitally important. As you put it, God is a communicating God.
Well, that's very true. You know, in any human relationship, people can struggle over issues and causes, but in the final analysis, something has to be said and an answer given. And when Jesus came, though he was the embodiment of the word, he still preached, and what he said to people was of supreme importance, and it's still true today. Christianity is many things to many people, but in the ultimate sense, It is a message and a story to be told.
You mentioned that the Protestant Hour and Day One have helped play a role in the national discussion of key issues over the past six decades, such as war and civil rights and women's rights and poverty and justice. How important is that role?
Well, religion plays a major role in our society, in this nation in particular. It has through the years. And it is so important that religion be a part of the solution rather than the problem. And what we're trying to do is to make religion a healing force rather than a divisive one. We don't feel that we should stand in judgment and pass blame around from one person or institution, but to seek to bring about understanding and healing and to go about the great concerns of our society constructively and in a spirit of goodwill.
And at the same time, our preachers over the years have tackled some of the vital personal issues of real life, such as grief and anxiety and loneliness. We receive so many emails and calls from folks who listen to a program and are touched personally by the hope and wisdom that they get. So we have the almost the prophetic proclamation part and also the ministry of healing. Both are important, aren't they?
Very much so. And what we say to people is so important, especially those who are lonely and distraught. How many times I've had people to say, I just need to talk with you, to just share our ideas together. And as we seek to minister to young people in particular, to know how to speak to them is so very, very important. And this program, we feel, from letters that have come back in year after year, is a real solace and strength to them as they struggle with the issues of their personal lives.
So, Bishop, where do we go from here?
Well, we keep doing what we are doing, but we want to do it more effectively and to learn how to speak a relevant word in a given situation, whatever their circumstances. We need to constantly be on the alert.
Well, Bishop Bevel Jones, thank you for being with us on this special edition of Day One.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
Day One brings you outstanding preachers from the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Episcopal Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.